And we also need to, I think it's significant, I've always found this significant anyway, the word pastor is only used once in the whole Bible. So we need to be a bit cautious about how much we build our theoretical or practical theology on a word that's only used once. But I'm not saying that you're insignificant, but the title is only used once. So maybe, you know, and I suspect pastoring is not the only thing you'll be doing. But God gave those things. Why did God give them? So that the body of Christ, so that the people of God would be built up, would be equipped for service. So I want to challenge us this morning to think again about the fact we've called a pastor, he and his family said, yes, we're coming. In doing so, we have put our hands up, if we claim to be people of God, we've put our hands up and said, Lord, equip me. Now, to some of us have a fair idea what that might mean. Some of us will be doing stuff we've been doing for a long time, but it may be something new. But we are putting our hands up saying, if we want a pastor, the pastor isn't here to run the show, the pastor is here to equip us, all of us who are the people of God, in whatever way is appropriate, to empower us to go out and do and be the church. I've often said that the church as we meet on Sunday is not the place where we are the church. This is the place where we are being equipped to be the church out there during the week, where we work, where we play, where we play sport, where we live, all those things, where we do our shopping. That's where we're to be the church, to be showing God's love in ways that sometimes amaze us as to the things that God does, just by us being there and being the light that he wants us to be. So what should our response be? We who are God's people, we put our hands up to be, I believe we've put our hands up to be counted to do what the Lord would want us to do. What are the sort of works of service we might be called to do? Interesting, isn't it? One is love your neighbour. Possibly first, love the person you share a home with. And most of us do that reasonably well, but some of us don't do it quite as well as we need to. One of the works of service may be to feed and house the homeless. Our young people try and do some of that. At least feed them. They possibly haven't got the opportunity to house them very much. What other works of service? Well, maybe it's to go to Zaire in the middle of an Ebola outbreak and minister to those who are dying. I'm not suggesting anyone here should be doing that, but if God's telling you, then we will support you in doing that. Maybe it's to take a meal to someone who's going through a tough time. It's to clean the church. Yeah, that's already been pretty well done, been organised. But hey, that's one of the works of service. Maybe it's to fix a neighbour's leaking roof. Some of us don't try that, please. Some of us may be able to. But what are the works of service that we are called to do? To visit someone in a nursing home or a hospital. Our friend Trevor here, his mother passed away with the Lord recently. And one of the things she used to do, she used to visit her mother in a nursing home, and then every day, and then realise that lots of the other people in that nursing home didn't have visitors, so she'd go and visit the lot. Works of service, what were they? Maybe it's to pray for our country for 2 hours every day. Don't look at me, I'm hopeless at praying in set ways. It's never worked with me. I sort of, perhaps it's not the best way of putting it, I pray randomly. When things come to my mind, I regard that as the Lord's prompting for me to pray for them, wherever I might be. I'm not very good at scheduling this block of time for it. But maybe that's what you are called to do. That may be one of the works of service. The list, I've only got about six or eight things on that list. The list could go on and on and on. What are the things, the Lord, works of service to which the Lord might call us? Please, don't say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm not strong enough, I'm not wise enough, I don't have the learning. You see, if we are God's people, He has given us His Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit is in every one of us who acknowledges that we're His people. To me, that suggests that any one of us can, as he calls us to do it, can use any of the gifts that He would want for us, empower us in ways that we're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Thank you, Lord. The question really is for us is, are we prepared to be equipped? We now have a pastor, at least from tomorrow. and I will possibly always address you as Michael. Some people call you Pastor Michael or other titles. I remember my father telling me once when he was a young man, he was elder in a church, and he used to address the pastor as being Reverend Smith or whatever his name was. And one day the guy didn't answer him. And my dad, yeah? And he turned to him and says, Will, my name is John. That's my Christian name. We're Christians. Call me by that name. So if I just call you Michael, that's not disrespectful. That is respecting you. And others will show you that respect in different ways. So out with the old, in with the new. Only if the old is past its use-by date. And yes, that sometimes applies to the way we deliver the message of God's salvation, of Jesus' love. Sometimes we need to change the way we deliver it, but please don't change the message. The message is only Jesus died for you because you're a sinner, and He wants you to have a good relationship with Him, a living, vital relationship with Him every day. The message is still the same. Some people have tampered with the message to their peril. But sure, try all the possible ways of presenting the message. So, welcome Michael, Maria and Julia, Sophia and Vincent. Please seek the Lord as to how you would equip each one of us for the works of service that He's got for you and for us together. You know, we want, not so that people think Concordia Lutheran Church Duncraig is some fabulous place, so that people will know that Jesus is a wonderful Saviour. That's what we want. How we want to be equipped. So that we will. So what is it we need to get rid of? What is it we need to receive new? Ask the Lord and He will show us. He will show us quite definitely. There was a guy that Jesus met who had to do with getting rid of some stuff, and Isabel's going to share with us something about that now.
My husband's got a few more inches than me. And so seriously, I look up to my husband. Now, one of the things that sort of has been on my mind, and I think Trevor's been part of it as well, he's got to deal with a whole lot of stuff that his mum had. And all of us in our lives have got some stuff that we're hanging on to, and it brings us down. And the rich young man that came to Jesus, he had, I imagine, a Del Keith sort of mansion, or something similar to that. And he had money. He could have taken the whole church of us to out for morning tea or lunch or something. He was rich, but he was a thoughtful person. Can't say that he was greedy. But what stopped him from becoming a disciple? Great possessions. He couldn't. He thought of all the things that he had, the comforts that he had. And he thought, I can't do it. And I think a lot of us have got situations where you believe that you hear the voice of the Lord saying, do this. You go to that neighbour who's a pain in the butt, you know, and ask him for coffee, you know, take him out for coffee or something. Not that I'm saying him, but sometimes it comes in the her version. So what stopped this rich young man from becoming a disciple? Great possessions. And I don't think there's any adult in this room that wouldn't have been classified as rich in those days. We are a privileged people. And I believe that the majority of you, I can't say that I'm amazing, do honour the goods that God has given you and use them for his glory. And that is just like by asking your neighbour out for coffee or little things. But the things that matter, the connections that you make with people. Here at church, yes, it would be terrible if we didn't talk to each other and make connections. But we're supposed to be out there in the world. And Tom and I, our church, we're going to go to church after this church, which is at Corrine, in the shopping centre there. And we have been able to speak to complete strangers, make them their friends, and see them interested in coming to church, or at least interested in our point of view. So, you know, God gives us opportunities and we need to take them. But what about this rich young man, this rich person? He looked at Jesus and said, yes, 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 I want to follow you. And then he looked back and he saw his piles of money and his family and whatever, and he couldn't do it. And I think many times we're similar to that. But when Tom, from our own experience, the Lord gave us a call to Israel. It wasn't on our agenda, it was his, because that we weren't the type of people that just longed to get to Israel. We longed to see Australia, WA, in the becoming revived. But God, for some reason, said Israel. And he arranged it, so because I worked for World Vision and I got seconded, so that didn't cost us. But when a few years later we knew that God was calling us to go back again, and I said, well, and I've told this before, well, we ain't going nowhere unless you do something about our finances. And he just put in my head, go into that competitions in the paper, and of course I won $21,000. Thank you, Lord, you can bankroll us any time. So that call was quite a commitment to go and leave our family, our teenage kids, and go away for a few months and then for a whole year, all of 2000. I still think there's a few scars from that, memories from our family, because the teenage kids had a hard time. But we trust God, and just to hear his voice. And I asked myself the question here, would we do it again? And I'm going, definitely not. Well, in the long term. And in fact, somebody has offered to pay for us, Tom and I, to go again and take a tour group and through the Holy of Holies, through Northern Galilee, and because that's like home to us. And but we don't feel that's for us. We can pray for Israel. We can visit when we've got any money. And would we do it again? Definitely, but not long term. And even though Israel has been our calling, and even louder call, and I think this sits on each and every one of us, is to be effective witnesses in our hometown. Thank you. What do you do with it when you don't want it anymore?